This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarshow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show, and happy Thursday that feels like a Friday. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. We're going to have a really fun show today. We've got Woker Joke. We got Libby Emmons. We got Mark Salinas. I mean, it is just a full plate, and we are ready to dive in. I have a lot of interesting stories about Omicron today and how this administration is dealing with it. And I have to say, when Politico starts writing things about you, saying that this is a bit of a mess, you may have really bungled this. I think Joe Biden's issue, and I'm going to kind of open this up to people, because the reason I'm having Libby on later is I'm confused by the whole testing thing. I talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't understand the point of the testing in certain situations. We're past the point now where you can quarantine this thing away. Maybe if we had three people in this country that had COVID, we could have quarantined. But now that seems like it's just something that's going to have to run through people. So the testing confuses me. But Joe Biden was obsessed with the testing. And this is something I find kind of amusing about him, is everything that he was so hard on Trump on, you know, everything that he made a point of talking about over and over again, like the Amtrak Joe story, anything that he thought he could hit Trump on and just talk and talk and talk about, he seems to be doing even worse than the rest of the stuff. Like, this guy made a big deal about the importance of testing. And yet now we seem to be behind on the testing. And these, I'm just going to read you a couple headlines here. It says, that's not a plan, it's a hope. Biden has yet to sign contracts for promised 500 million at-home COVID tests. That's from the New York Post, which you might expect from the New York Post. But then in Politico, Biden's testing mess. And so he does this interview yesterday with David Muir from ABC. It's a one-on-one sit-down. And you should keep in mind that after this sit-down, he's earned his trip to wherever he's going for Christmas. I've heard rumors. I've heard he's going to the Virgin Islands. But he's not going for Christmas. He's only going for New Year's.
Because there's no Amtrak to the Virgin Islands. How's he going to get there?
Not yet, Jared.
That's true. We got to wait for the Green New Deal.
Christmas wish.
Trains to Hawaii.
Santa Claus. Yeah, so he's doing the sit-down interview, and it was really bad. I mean, that's kind of a standing headline at this point. Joe Biden interviews bad. But it's like he's not even trying. And I think the most frustrating part about this is that you wanted this job. You told us that you were going to shut down the virus, and you made us all these promises about what you were going to do with testing. Let's go through a couple of these flashbacks. Let's go to cut 11. This is a Biden flashback.
We need to scale up testing, so anyone who needs one can get a test. After 10 months of the pandemic, we still don't have enough testing. That's a travesty.
A travesty. Now, he's been in office for over 10 months. Is it still a travesty, or is it no longer a travesty? This is kind of like the death count.
I don't know, to be clear.
When the death count was over 200,000 and Trump was president, it was unacceptable. And, you know, no one should be president after overseeing that many deaths from COVID. And now that Joe Biden has surpassed that, crickets. You don't hear anything about it. It's okay now. And everything, do you notice that every answer is very like shoulder shrugging? Like, oh, do you think you've done enough? Oh, we can never do enough. Do you think it's a failure? No, I mean, it's not good. It's like there's just this real malaise that has taken over him, where he's not even, short of the occasional yelling where he's talking about your child getting internet service in a McDonald's and he says, "This is the United States of America." Short of that, the passion doesn't seem to be there anymore. And we have more flashbacks. He made a point of obsessing over this testing. Cut 12.
My plan will also expand free testing that you can get at 10,000 pharmacies around the country.
This was his plan. And Politico actually did a really good job of breaking down why his response last night on David Muir, and we'll have that sound for you, but he tried to explain. He said, "I don't think it's a failure. I think it's..." Oh, we have the sound. Let's play it. This is Biden with David Muir.
2 years into this pandemic, you're a year into the presidency, empty shelves and no test kits in some places, 3 days before Christmas when it's so important. Is that good enough?
No, nothing's been good enough. But look where we are.
It's a non-answer. Then he goes on to say he doesn't think it's a failure. And Politico wrote, "This struck us as a strange response." Because at one point in the interview, we'll get this sound as well, he says, "I wish I had thought about ordering 500 million at-home tests 2 months ago." In other words, he's trying to say, like, I couldn't predict the future. Which, by the way, Trump was always supposed to know how to do that. He was always expected to predict the future. But with Joe Biden, you know, he's coming into office when a vaccine is already created and we've known about this virus for a year. But how could he have seen any of this coming? So Politico writes, "This struck us as a strange response from the president. For a year, he's been promising to fix the lack of testing capacity in the United States. Here's a short history of his testing promises." They go on to list a bunch of them, which we have here. And now he's saying, how was I supposed to know about this? Well, you said this was your plan. He wasn't just a man with a vision. He was a man with a 7-pronged plan. And now he's pretending like, I could have never known this was going to happen. No. You had said that you were preparing for this. And the testing plan that he does have is not good. According to the New York Times, Michael Shear and Cheryl Stolberg, they noted, "Biden's administration has not yet signed a contract to buy the tests, and the website to order them will not be up until January. Now, this is the big story today, which is, he's promising us these 500 million tests because, you know, he loves those numbers. So he sees 500 million and he's like, "Ooh, baby, can't wait.
2 to 3 out of 5.
Can't wait to get out and talk about that." But it turns out that by the time these tests, he hasn't even purchased them. But by the time, and by the way, they're going to go out to people for free. So I don't know why he needs to purchase them, because if Jen Psaki's math makes sense to me, these should be at zero cost to anyone.
Yeah, they're like the Build Back Better plan. They shouldn't cost anything.
They're already paid for. If those tests came in January and February, they could have an impact. Okay, this is Jennifer Nuzzo. She works at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She said if those tests came in January and February, they could have an impact. But if they're spread out over 10 to 12 months, I'm not sure what kind of impact it's going to have. The tests are likely still months away from being shipped to homes, which experts made clear was an unwanted delay given the current alarm. Now, this is a Harvard professor, Dr. Michael Mina. He said, "Had this been started a long time ago, maybe things would be different." And now Biden's saying, "Well, what was I supposed to do?" "Well, I don't know. You're supposed to be the president. You promised all this stuff." And another thing he promised was canceling student loans. He promised that to all his crazed left-wing progressive followers, and he's not delivering on that. That's a big promise that he didn't make. His word as a Biden, I guess, means nothing. Who would have thought? Father of Hunter can't be held to his word. But then he comes out and says, I'm pausing it another 90 days. And people like Representative Ilhan Omar are saying, "Well, that's great, but we weren't told we were going to get a delay. We were told we were going to get these things canceled." So it's all of these promises that he's not living up to. And then meanwhile, to make matters worse, the Supreme Court is going to start hearing a lot of cases about the legitimacy or the legality of these vaccine mandates. And we have one right now in Boston where Mayor Wu is saying that you have to have a vaccine passport to get into places. Now, Howie Carr turned me on to this. Boston's 311 is somewhere you can complain about things like if you see graffiti, if you see a needle on the street. all things that we're very used to in the city of Boston, you can complain. You can say, hey, 311, there's blah, blah, blah. You can send in pictures even. Well, now people have been sending in complaints about this vaccine passport. And there's been more than 2.3 million postings so far. As Howie points out in his column, it's usually about, you know, illegal parking, illegal graffiti. But listen to some of these. These are some people who are texting in, not too happy with Mayor Wu. Just got my vaccine outside of a McDonald's. Any city workers looking for free shots? I don't know if it was Moderna, Pfizer, or heroin, but I got my first shot. Seems legit. Another person took a picture of a rodent sighting at City Hall and said, no ID for voting or welfare, but one for my kid to eat a Happy Meal in McDonald's. Michelle Wu and her useless city councilors that backed this should hang their heads in shame. You make me sick. Another person sent in a picture of an overflowing trash can at City Hall. New York did this and it's failing miserably and having no positive impact on COVID / number of cases. These are just a few. I have tons. Would I be...
This is the United States of America. You should need to get a vaccine outside of McDonald's. Damn it!
Damn it! One unvaxxed tester wondered what will happen if he's around City Hall come January 15th and he has to use a restroom only to be denied entry to the public building. Would I be allowed to pull down my pants and bleep on City Hall Plaza like Nancy Pelosi allows people to do in San Francisco? These people are pretty creative for these texts. I gotta give it to them. Why do spectators have to prove vaccination to enter TD Garden, but players do not? Do we have different rules for rich people? Well, I can answer that text. Yes. Have you not been watching the Met Gala, the Emmy Awards? Have you not been out to a restaurant? Have you not? Do you not go to the French Laundry, texter?
Did you not see the Biden family Christmas spectacular? Dancing nurses and no masks for the big guy.
Yeah, and a lot of people are just sending in, I will not go to another restaurant or spend another dime in this city. You have no right to decide what other people do with their bodies. This is morally wrong. My body, my choice. Remember, not my body, Michelle Wu's choice. Kudos to these texters. I'm going to keep reading a couple of these. The vaccine clearly isn't working. The last 7 people at work with COVID were fully vaccinated. How does this mandate make anyone safer? That's the part of these things that drive me crazy. Like, I saw Governor Kathy Hochul today saying, oh, it's not a big deal for kids to wear masks, which is ludicrous by itself, because it is a big deal and it hurts their social development. There's been plenty of studies if you want to follow the science on that. But my biggest issue isn't what the mandates are, it's that they don't do anything. It's that they're so pointless. We're just, it's like every time a lawmaker comes up with new legislation, it's just to be able to say they came up with something. It's not to actually fix anything. It's not to eventually enforce any laws. It's just to play house, you know? Like, oh, this is the new thing. We were just told yesterday that masks are facial decoration. And yet it's not a big deal that kids have to wear them day in and day out and not be able to see each other's faces. Strange. None of this makes any sense. And when Joe Biden's asked about it, his response is like, oh, come on, man. He actually laughed yesterday in the interview. And I have a request. I'll play the sound when we return. But if I were one of the lucky 2 or 3 people who's been able to interview him since his time in the White House and since this time out of the basement, and he did that thing where he made a joke of my question and laughed at it. And I say this every once in a while. And I know that maybe I'm not smart like all these journalists, but I would 1000% turn it on him when he laughed. And I would say, do you find this amusing? I would. I feel like that's such a boss move to just say, do you find this amusing? Because that would set him back a little bit. Then he'd have to say, no. It's not funny. It's not funny.
And look, Jack.
I'll take you behind the shed. But it's like, do you guys find this funny? Because there's a lot of people who have lost businesses. There's a lot of people whose kids have missed events. There's a lot of people who weren't able to bury their parents or their grandparents. There's a lot of people who are sick of this and who do not find it funny. Who do not find any of this folksy or amusing, Joe. I'll have that sound for you when we return. We'll keep taking your calls today. 844-500-4242. If you want to weigh in, the first hour is the best time to get on because we have a pretty jam-packed show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
This is my all-time favorite song around Christmas time, somewhere in my memory. You just can't beat it. Merry Christmas to everyone out there. I hope you're staying warm and getting excited for the upcoming festivities. And I know that the holidays aren't easy for everybody. They're different for everybody. So wherever you are, I hope you're enjoying some peace and having some fun, too. Greg, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Greg.
First of all, congratulations on your nuptials.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, my wife and I went and saw Phil Collins, well, Genesis, last week at the TD Bank.
Oh, yeah.
And they rushed us right in, no big deal. And they hardly even looked at the vaccine cards. When we were in the concession line to get a brewski, these people were laughing on how they got in. I guess they took one vaccine card and they copied it three different times, and they gave it to their three different friends, and they just gave them to different security people when they were going in, different lines. They got whisked straight in, no big deal. These cards are nothing but stupid.
The horror! Don't tell me that, Greg! How many more? No, of course. I mean, I actually have a friend. I'm not going to name names here, but he's crafty, you know, and he wanted to go to a football game, and he's in California, and he's not vaccinated, and I felt bad. I'm like, oh, man, such a good game you're going to. I hope you get in. He said to me, I'll get in. this isn't like stealing the, what's the movie with Nicolas Cage?
Declaration of Independence. Yes, National Treasure.
I was trying to remember what he stole in that. Yeah, this isn't a top secret mission. You don't have to be like Ocean's 11, Danny Ocean, to get in. I mean, they're just looking at, and can you blame them, Greg? I mean, they're looking at a million of these things. They're probably just trying to do their jobs in general. And now all of a sudden they're supposed to be checking people's medical information. It's kind of ridiculous.
And what was funny, they didn't even want to see my license to go with it.
No, Greg, I agree with you, though. It is pretty absurd that any of this. And, you know, I just saw a meme, and I don't usually talk about memes on the air because it's hard to really describe them. But it's someone with his eyes shut, and it's Squidward, actually. It's not just someone, but it's Squidward. He has his eyes shut. He's sleeping peacefully. And it says, robberies, carjackings, crime spiking, gunshots, and he's just sleeping through it all. And then it says, kid enters McDonald's without vaccine passport, and the eyes are wide open. Like, this is what the left panics over. Oh, your child has their mask below their nose. And then meanwhile, two Democrats, do you hear about this? Two Democrats yesterday? It's pretty amazing. I'm not making light of it either, but you have to take the irony here. Illinois Democrat senator carjacked, shots fired. Pennsylvania Dem, who backed police reform, is carjacked at gunpoint in Philadelphia. Obviously, horrible stories here and horrible situations, but this is liberal utopia. This is what all of these policies are leading to. Thank you for the call, Greg. I see everyone else on the line.
Government.
844-500-4242. When we get back, we're talking Christmas movies, and we'll keep talking about Joe Biden's testing failures. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Cut 22, please.
And we do hope that everyone really comes around and realizes this is a simple, very minor intrusion, if you will. If it's that, even that, all the children in the state have been wearing masks since the beginning. It's not that big a deal. It'll help save lives, keep them healthy, and that's all we're asking for. So there has been some pushback, but we're not backing down from this. We think it's important.
Oh, you're so brave. Don't back down from those little kids who want to breathe properly. Who cares about them? I love how she says, it's not a big deal. All these people who don't think wearing a mask all day long is a big deal, and so they keep telling other people to do it. You know what all these people have in common? They opt out of wearing a mask quite a bit. I've seen her at several galas and interviews. In fact, in that interview she was just doing, no mask. If it's not such a big deal, if eating lunch outside on an orange bucket isn't such a big deal, then why don't you do it, ma'am?
It's amazing that everybody can speak for what these children care about, don't care about, what they want, what they don't want. And except the parents.
And by the way, I have not had to wear a mask a lot throughout the course of this thing. I mean, we're lucky we don't have to wear one here. And I can read the room. If I go into certain stores, like if you want to go into ship something to a store, you know, one of those, anything like the post office or anything, they might give you a hard time about wearing a mask. But most stores now, you can get away with it. But when I have had to wear them, it's annoying. It's very annoying. And it makes breathing. And I know people are going to say, get out the smallest violin, maybe. But it can make you feel nauseous, just not getting any fresh air, breathing in your own breath. And these kids have to do it all day long. And I've said this before, but if you have anxiety and you start to kind of panic, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Take deep breaths in and out. So if you're a little kid and you're at school and you're nervous, maybe it's your first time kind of leaving the house away from your parents, you're scared of everything that the world is telling you to be frightened of, which there's so many things. Where do we even begin? And then you start to get a little nervous, you start to have a panic attack or something. You can't even breathe because you've got this piece of cloth, a facial decoration on top of your mouth. I'm sorry, but enough is enough. I agree with Frank Mendoza. Like, enough of this BS. It either is or it isn't. You know, it either is something that's going to save us all or they don't matter. And the left can't seem to pick which one it is. The masks are so important, you know, and it's not that big of a pain to wear them. And you're doing something for your neighbor. But at the same time, you have to get vaccinated because the masks don't do anything. They're useless. Well, which one is it? Pick a flipping lane. Drives me crazy. By the way, I want to read this headline. This cracks me up. I think from the font that it's from the Washington Post, it says, thousands who followed the rules are about to get COVID. They shouldn't be ashamed. In other words, if you get COVID but you did everything right, you can still feel morally superior to those people who did everything wrong and are in the same boat as you because this vaccine's so effective. I don't even know where to begin. This has gone so far from being about health. Why would you be ashamed anyway? You could get COVID. You could follow the rules to a T and somehow still manage to get this thing based off how transmissible it is. So where is this level of shame? Unless the people at the Washington Post want other people to feel shame. I would never shame anyone for getting a cold. Do you remember ever having that happen? Where you'd say, oh, no. I have a cold. Oh, you dirty, poor, illiterate, strung out rube. I'm sorry, Karen. What? That never happened before this. And also, another side effect of this, which I've heard from a lot of parents, is that people are sending their kids into school sick, and they'll say, well, it's not COVID, as if that's the only thing that exists. So you don't have to feel ashamed if you followed the rules, but the rest of us, you know, we should feel some level of guilt for being selfish, stupid grandma killers. I'm laying this out for people at home so you can understand the logic, the airtight logic behind all of this. All right, I do want to talk a little bit here about this interview with David Muir. What a big get for David Muir. I've never seen him get this big of a one-on-one interview, and it was riveting. It really was. He's talking to Joe Biden about all of the issues that are plaguing the Biden administration, and Joe was as sharp as ever. So let's start from the top. Let's do cut four. He's asked about running in 2024.
I want to ask you about something I asked weeks before the election when we sat down. You said you would absolutely serve 8 years if elected. Do you plan to run for re-election?
Yes. But look, I'm a great respecter of fate. Fate has intervened in my life many, many times. If I'm in the health I'm in now, if I'm in good health, then, in fact, I would run again.
And if that means a rematch against Donald Trump?
You're trying to tempt me now.
Oh, God. Hold on. Let's take a pause here. Very out of breath for someone who is in good health. I just have to say that. And I hope everyone's in good health. I hope that for everyone. But he's not convincing me. If this is supposed to be someone who has like a really great, you know, immune system, and he's just feeling fit as a fiddle, the heavy breathing is not making the case. If I'm in good health, like I am now. Oh, this is the bar we're going for. This is our standard. Okay, sounds good. Let's also do cut five, please. He's talking about considering vaccine passports to fly.
Have you considered requiring passengers in this country to be vaccinated to get on flights?
It's been considered, but the recommendation I've gotten is not necessary.
Even with Omicron?
Even with Omicron. That's the recommendation I got so far from the team.
All right, now I'm going to go back to some of the other ones, but I want to first stick with these Omicron cuts. And I want to point something out. He has this fallback where he says, you know, I follow the scientists, I take the recommendations from the team. We did not elect any of these people. It's such a cop-out to say, oh, well, the Dr. Fauci and the scientists told me to. Oh, the same people who've been wrong on absolutely everything since the beginning of this? I don't remember voting for any of those people. I don't remember Fauci being on the ballot. So why are you taking all of your cues? Like, if that were the case, why do we even have a president? Why don't we let the scientists run the country? I mean, they are right now, but why didn't the founding fathers think of that? Like, oh, you know what, guys? Let's not bother writing this whole thing down. We'll just have a group of snobby scientists who have no connection to a regular average person run the country.
Why, Murphy, the town alchemist, shall be in charge.
Yes. I like him. I'm going to make a candle about him, and we will declare a holiday on December 24th for him. Yeah, it's just, and you'll talk to people in the medical world. I have a very close friend who's a fabulous nurse, and she's very level-headed, and she said there's a reason that these people can't make the decisions for the country, because they see things, and you know, it's amazing that we have these medical professionals, and I give them so much credit, but she said they have tunnel vision. They see things through the sphere of keeping people healthy. They don't see things through the sphere of health, the economy, the border. Like, they're thinking about their lane. So you can't go always based off what they're saying, because they might be wrong, or they might be unable to see the risk and the cost of things, because they're thinking solely about COVID. And as the president of the United States, you've got to think about a host of other issues. But instead, he's passing the buck. This has become a guy who got elected by blaming Trump. Now he's in office. He's shrugging his shoulders. He doesn't know anything. He has no answers. But he had all of the answers when he didn't have any of the responsibility. All right, let's move on to, we've already played this one, but I think it's important to play it again. Let's move on to cut eight, please, Jared.
2 years into this pandemic, you're a year into the presidency. Empty shelves and no test kits in some places, 3 days before Christmas when it's so important. Is that good enough?
No, nothing's been good enough. But look where we are.
I mean, honestly, fact check, true. Fact check, the only true thing he's ever said. Nothing's been good enough.
I love nothing's been good enough, but look where we are. The place where nothing's been good enough.
Yeah.
That's where we are, Mr. President.
You know what? You're right, Joe. You got me there. Nothing's been good enough, but look where we are.
Doing great, champ, commander, whatever.
His words don't mean anything. They're just like these weird folksy platitudes that go nowhere. Look where we are.
You're just saying sounds. There's sounds.
That's all he's doing, saying sounds. Let's also do cut nine, please, Jared.
But 3 days before Christmas, if you look out across the country, you see it everywhere. These long lines, people waiting for hours outside in the cold just to get tested, to
yep.
be reassured before they spend time with their family.
Yep.
I saw it in Washington today coming to the White House. If you go to the pharmacy, we hear this over and over again, empty shelves, no test kits. Is that a failure?
No, I don't think it's a failure. I think it's you could argue that we should have known a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 months ago, a month ago. I've ordered half a billion of the pills, 500 million pills. 500 million test kits.
that are going to be available to be sent to every home in America if anybody wants them. But the answer is, yeah, I wish I had thought about ordering 500 million pills 2 months ago before COVID hit here.
But
there's so many lies in that. One, he has not bought them yet. He might have ordered them, but he hasn't signed the papers to actually purchase them. And two, we've known about this. We've known about this for months. And in fact, he was talking about this for months. So the only thing that's lacking here is the actual willingness to do what you said you were going to do, which is becoming very clearly his major issue. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, this administration is not just inept and they're not just full of liars. They're also, I'm getting a lazy vibe to them, because otherwise, and we know he works like 2 hours a day, but why not do this? Like, this was your big thing. You had all these plans for months. So unless you guys are just sheerly lazy, what's the problem?
And are they pills or are they tests? Because he says he ordered pills, then he corrects himself to tests, then he goes back to pills again at the end of the cut. Like, what did we get? What do we get? Are you just sending pills to people? Are we sending tests to people? Like, what's going on?
Oh, now you're just being the peanut gallery. Pills, yes. Tests. Well, you really care, Jared. Come on.
I'll use neither, so...
Let's play cut 10, please.
I'm sure you're going to ask me, when's this going to end? How are we going to do this? Are we certainly going to be able to overcome the COVID-19? The answer is, the expectation is yes, because we have the best scientists in the world. We've moved so rapidly compared to other countries. But we don't know. We don't know for certain.
Oh, so everything's so confusing now, isn't it? We don't know anything. The man who knew everything suddenly knows nothing. So funny how that works.
I don't know, to be clear.
Remember how much Trump was ripped if he said, like, oh, you know, I think it's going to go away, or this hit our shores. We didn't really know that much about it. It was like, oh, come on. You should have been prepared. This guy walks in a year later with a vaccine and he's pretending like, oh, this isn't anyone's fault. You notice that switch up? Kamala said it too. Oh, this is no one's fault that this came here. It was somebody's fault in the last administration. What did Jay Tapper say that one time? Who's ever in charge in D.C.? That's how we label the president now. Who's ever in charge in D.C. really needs to get to the bottom of this. It's who's ever in charge's fault, Joe. P.S. That's you. Let's play one more.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
All right, Senator Joe Biden, take it easy. Let's play one more cut 12.
The vice president said in recent days that you didn't see Delta coming, you didn't see Omicron coming. How did you get it wrong?
How did we get it wrong? Nobody saw it coming.
I'm telling you, Jared, I think my idea is, once in a while I get a good idea. I think it's brilliant. Someone's got to drop the, what's so funny? What is so funny? My mom used to say that sometimes when we were little, if you laughed, if you tried to make a joke out of something, and she'd be like, what's so funny about that? It stops you in your tracks, because this isn't funny. None of this. But it's funny to him, because he's going to go to the Virgin Islands, I guess, and play with his new puppy. It's just the rest of us have to be in this like wake of destruction wherever he goes. Pretty amazing. 844-500-4242. I should say, I can't fact check that yet about Virgin Islands. I read it on Twitter, but I'm not sure yet.
Doesn't Jim Biden have an island down there or something?
I'm sure some co-founder from the Carlyle Group has some big mansion he can stay at. You know that Santa loves turtles. Yes, it's true, especially when they're Phillips chocolate turtles made with rich, smooth caramel, hand-roasted pecans, cashews, and almonds, topped with that mouth-watering dollop of milk or dark chocolate. Phillips has been using the same recipe since 1925. A trip to Phillips Chocolate has been a curly family Christmas tradition. If you walk in to 818 Morrissey Boulevard, it is like it's Christmas time in a store. I mean, it just smells heavenly. And they have so many options. And especially if you're in the New England area and you bring a box of Phillips to someone's house, everyone knows this chocolate place. It's just famous for having the best quality chocolate around. That's 818 Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester. Now, of course, I'm going to give you guys a little tip here. If you want to purchase in-store or online just in time for the holidays and you place an order online for $100 or more, use code GRACE and you'll save $10 off your purchase. Don't disappoint Santa. Go to phillipschocolate.com and use code GRACE to save $10 on a purchase of at least $100. Make it Phillips Chocolate for that perfect holiday sweet treat. That's phillipschocolate.com and use code GRACE at checkout. We'll be right back with your calls and with the poll question. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
There were carols in the square.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Phillips Chocolates, Boston's oldest chocolatier, a tradition that spans four generations. You can purchase them in-store or online just in time for the holidays. Go to phillipschocolate.com and use code GRACE to save $10 on a purchase of at least $100. That's phillipschocolate.com and use code GRACE at checkout. Jared, I left you in charge of this very important poll question, so let's see how you did.
All right. What's your favorite Christmas movie? A Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, Home Alone, The Claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Miracle on 34th Street, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Elf, or Other, including Die Hard?
I'm going to say Home Alone.
Home Alone is at 6% right now.
Wow.
It's a Wonderful Life in the lead at 34%. Second place goes to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation at 19%. 15% say A Christmas Story. 13% for Other, including Die Hard. 6% for Claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. 4% Miracle on 34th Street. 2% for Elf and A Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Yeah, I'm not a big Elf girl myself. Mags, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mags.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's the one I like best, Grace.
It's a very good one.
Hey, I gotta tell you, Grace, I love listening to your show. You do an awesome job. You always seem to make me crack up laughing at the things that make my head want to spin around. So I have to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for listening, Mags.
My sister and I, we were talking about you the other day. You're doing a great job, Grace.
Thank you.
Listen, what I would like to say, honestly, is that I wish they would let you in the White House to do an interview. Because I don't understand how all of these reporters sleep at night not doing their job, not asking one question that means anything. I'm perplexed by it continually.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying, Grace?
Mags, I appreciate the call, and I wish you a Merry Christmas, and I totally, totally agree. It really is disgusting. And to Mags's point, we just played that cut of Joe Biden laughing when asked about his failures as a president. And this is Bonchi from Red State. He said, has Biden been taking lessons from Harris on laughing awkwardly and inappropriately when asked a serious question? Secondly, his answer is an outright lie. Plenty of people saw the possibility of another variant emerging, including his own CDC. His falsehood is reminiscent of the lies he told about Afghanistan, in which he claimed none of his advisors predicted the Taliban would take over the country so quickly. And I think that's what Mags is saying, is that he says these things that anyone knows is a lie. And you could really break down a lie with just the slightest bit of pushback. Like, oh, did no one in your CDC warn you about this? But they would never follow up. Instead, David Muir will just nod with a furrowed brow, like a good reporter should do. All right, when we get back, more Christmas fun. Don't go anywhere, guys. It's the Grace Curley Show.